Good morning. Welcome to worship at the Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville on this first Sunday in the season of Advent. How good it is for us to be together.
The word Advent means coming, the arrival of a notable person or event. The Advent season in time of anticipation as we prepare for Christmas. We often think of Christmas preparations in terms of our many activities. We put up the tree and decorate it. We wrap gifts, send cards, and put the manger scene in place.
But Advent is more than a time of tinsel and trees. It is a season of spiritual preparation for Christ's coming, a time for praying, meditation, and peace. In this season of Advent, may we prepare not only our homes, but also our hearts. May we find the quiet place within and ponder the wondrous gift of God's own Son come to us on earth. May our hearts be opened. May
we origins of the Advent wreath are found in the folk practices of pre-Christian Germanic peoples, who during the cold December darkness of Eastern Europe gathered wreaths of evergreen and lit fires as a sign of hope in the coming of spring and renewed light. By the 16th century, Christians throughout Germany used these symbols to celebrate their Advent hope in Christ, the everlasting light of the world.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. As the days grow shorter and the darkness longer, we look on these earthly signs, light and evergreen branches, and remember God's promise to the world. Christ, our light and our hope, will come. O come, Emmanuel. As we seek to experience Advent, we light the first candle as we prepare for God to be born in us.
Let us pray. Your word, O God, is a living word, able to bring life and comfort, salvation, hope, and peace. Give us ears to hear and hearts open to receive your message to us this day. Amen. This is a passage from Romans 13. It's not often preached on because it's a warning. So let us listen. This is a common English Bible translation. It's not RSV. It's language that's a little more contemporary. But this is Paul speaking to the Roman congregation, and here's what he says. You know what time it is. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your sleep. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first had faith. The night is almost over and the day is near. So let's get rid of the actions that belong to the darkness and put on the weapons of light. Let's behave appropriately as people who live in the day, not in partying and getting drunk, not in sleeping around and obscene behavior, not in fighting or obsession. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't plan to indulge your selfish desires. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, help us to see you, and in seeing you, follow you. And in following, be useful to you. And in serving you, find joy in this life and eternity in the world to come. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. That's right, Happy New Year. No, I haven't lost my mind and I'm not confused about what month this is. I do know that today is December the 2nd. But today is also the first Sunday in Advent, which marks the beginning of the church's calendar, also known as the liturgical calendar. And whereas some calendars mark time based on phases of the moon or the rising and setting of the sun, the church's calendar marks time based on the birth and rising of the S-O-N, sun. In other words, for Christian people, Jesus gives time its significance. Just as our secular calendars have seasons, so also the liturgical calendar has seasons. Advent, you see, is actually a season. It's a season in which we await the birth of Christ. It culminates on Christmas Day when we celebrate God's greatest gift to humanity in the Christ child. And then 12 days later, you remember the 12 days of Christmas? 12 days later, we celebrate Epiphany, another season. Epiphany is a word that means the appearance or manifestation or revelation of something. And Epiphany marks the coming of the Magi, who discover Jesus' identity as God's Son in a powerful way. So the revelation to the Magi is celebrated at Epiphany. Then we journey in the season of Lent with Jesus to the cross. 3 days later, we celebrate on Easter morning his resurrection from the dead. And then the season that follows that is Pentecost, where we celebrate Jesus' living presence with us in our hearts, in our church, in our world, made real through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So ordering time this way sends a simple but yet profound message that for Christians, Jesus is at the center of time itself. You know, time's a funny thing that way, because not all time is the same. You know, sometimes there's something happening that is just so big that it affects everything else. And we've all just experienced that phenomenon with the coming of Hurricane Sandy. Do you still remember that? Surely you remember the voices of the weathermen, the forecasters. They were like Old Testament prophets of doom. Doom and gloom. You would think they were forecasting Stormageddon. Warnings came from every direction. Watch out for the wind. Watch out for flooding. Watch out for blowing debris. Remember that your electricity might be out for days, if not weeks. And so the prophets preached. And so we listened. And so we prepared. I don't know about you, but I went 6 different places before I found the last size D batteries on the planet. Canned goods, bottled water was flying off the shelves. Flashlights and candles were in everybody's basket. There were lines at the gas station. We listened to the warnings, and we prepared as best we could. But you remember what comes next. Then came the waiting. You remember waiting? We were stuck to our screens, our TV screens, our computer screens, our smartphone screens. Something big was about to happen, of that we were sure. But when it would happen was totally out of our control. And so time stood still. Ironically, I think waiting for that storm had many of the same elements that we associate with the Advent season. We had prophetic type warnings. We had anticipation, expectation, preparation. Scripture tells us that in the birth of Jesus Christ, there was something big of cosmic proportions going on. Something earth-shaking, something game-changing, because God was mightily in it. God was at work in it. You see, God had promised a redeemer through the prophets of old. But then God put those extraordinary promises to work in the lives of some pretty ordinary people when you really stop to think about it. A carpenter with marriage on his mind, a young girl planning a wedding, shepherds working the night shift, some foreigners doing a little stargazing. Advent is about the inbreaking of the God-man. In Hebrew, that word is Emmanuel, literally meaning God with us. Advent is about the inbreaking of the God-man into what we think of as our time. You know, routine, day in, day out, regular, ordinary, 24/7, 365, chronological time, our time. It's astonishing, really, this claim that in Jesus Christ, God steps into time, occupies our time, thereby making it God's own. But Advent points to an inescapable fact, and that is that our time is not really our own. It never has been. All time is God's time. What we measure in seconds and minutes and hours and days, God measures in terms of creation, new creation, reconciliation, and redemption. All time is headed toward the divine goal of salvation. All history is pregnant with redemptive possibilities. And we know this because God became one with humanity in Jesus Christ. Jesus entered the stage of human history and embraced all of the limitations of what it means to be human, experiencing pain, suffering, and death. But ultimately, the limitations of time and space did not bind Jesus. Because when God raised Jesus from the dead, time's hold on human life was forever broken. You see, the resurrection resets the clock. Jesus' resurrection defeats our captivity to a 12-month calendar. And it gives us a new category of life expectancy called eternity. This remaking of time itself, this creation of new life beyond biological life, is something that we humans can never experience on our own, certainly not through our own efforts. Everlasting life with God is not an achievement. It's a gift. It's a divine gift, a gift that has to be received in order to be opened. Advent is an open invitation to consider how the inbreaking of God in our world, in the coming of Jesus, still makes a difference. That's what this season is all about. Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. Time has no hold on Christ. And that's why he continues to show up in the hearts and minds of people today. I had a seminary professor, Don Jewell, taught New Testament. And he always used to say that the empty tomb means that Jesus is on the loose. Well, you know, that's good news. Because if Jesus is on the loose, then Jesus is alive and well. But on the other hand, if Jesus is on the loose, man, you never know when or where he's going to show up next, right? And that means that you have to be on the lookout. You have to be ready for his appearance. You have to be ready to change, if that's what he should ask of you. You have to be ready to follow wherever he might lead. So being a follower of the risen Christ can be sort of a risky business. Might even change your whole life. Will Willimon, who was former dean of the chapel at Duke University, he's now a Methodist bishop, tells about a man in his congregation who was having some very, very serious open heart surgery. As a matter of fact, the doctors had told this man that he only had a 50-50 chance of surviving that surgery. So a relieved Williman went to visit the man following the surgery. And he said, "You survived after all. Isn't that wonderful?" To which the man replied, "No, preacher. I didn't just survive. I did more than survive. I was born again. I'm not the same person I've been for the last 50 years. It's like God reached into my life through this illness and made me somebody better than I was before. I've been given a second chance, and I'm going to be different. I'm going to be better than I was before." See, Jesus showed up in this man's life, and nothing could ever be the same. From that time forward, Christ was on this man's radar. Christ was front and center in this man's thinking. During this season of Advent, how can we place Christ on our radar? How can we place Christ in the front and center of our thinking? Well, here's how the church can help you do this. Jeff has already mentioned that on the church website, there is if you go to the website, those of you who are web savvy, and I have a plan for those of you who are not, so just hang tough. You go to the website and you see there's a banner that keeps changing. It's a rotating picture. One of those rotating pictures will say Advent Resources. You click on that. It takes you to a page, and it has several different things down that page. You click on any one of them, and it takes you to all these cool Advent ideas and activities. One of those things is a daily Advent devotional written by members of this congregation that he already made reference to. The thing that I find most easy to do in terms of setting aside time for God is for somebody else to do that for me, right? I mean, what's not to like? So what we've tried to do is to make it easy. What would it be like for you to get sent an email so that every time you check your email, bang, there it is. You don't even have to think about it. It's an Advent devotional for that day. Well, there are three easy ways to sign up to have us do your work for you. The first is, check this out. It's in your bulletin. Immediate delivery system, right? Look at the bottom. It's a tear-off form. You can tear that off, and you can give us your email address and information, and we will make sure that gets processed. You drop it in the offering plate, if there's room. We're hoping there's no room in the offering plate. Second option, if you're really like into email, you can figure this out from the website itself. There are prompts that will guide you, and you just keep following those, and you know eventually it happens. Or foolproof, stand up Lorraine Huckler. That's Lorraine Huckler. She and her laptop are going to be in the fellowship center, and you stop by her desk, and she will sign you up. Now, for those of you who prefer paper over a screen, or who are not email savvy, and trust me, my heart goes out. I'm a Luddite at heart. We do have limited numbers of print copies of the Advent devotional. We're trying to be very green. We're trying to be responsible and not kill trees. But we do have print copies for those of you who need to use that form. Lorraine will have them at the Fellowship Center. All of these resources, online and print copy, are food for the soul and can help you in a real way focus on Christ during Advent, but also beyond Advent as well. Because you know what? Jesus is on the loose. And Advent is a time to heighten our awareness of his presence, to prepare to receive him anew, and to resolve to follow wherever he leads. And let all God's children say, Amen.